Parshas Vayechi over the last couple of years has become a national opportunity for us to focus on the halachos of Kever Yisrael. And in many, many shuls all across the country, they will talk about the importance of Kevura and the fact that we have an obligation to do it in the proper fashion as the halacha dictates. And the reason for that is because in Parshas Vayechi, we have Yaakov Avinu passes away, Vayechi Yaakov Be'eretz Kanan Shva Asrei Shana. It talks about the end of Yaakov Avinu's life that was spent in Mitzrayim. And then he goes and makes his children swear to him that he's going to be buried properly in Eretz Yisrael. And that is something that they honor. That is a pledge that they assure him of. And then Yosef makes the same deal with his brothers as well, that he hopes at some point, Pakod yifkod elokim aschem v'halisem esatzmosai mizeh etchem, right? That he, sorry, I didn't say it exactly, yes, but Yosef tells his brothers that he hopes that someday he will also have the opportunity to have a Kever Yisrael. Where does it come from that we have this idea of after a person being buried, after a person passing away, Rachmana Litzlan, they're supposed to be buried in the ground? And the truth is, it goes all the way back to the days of Adam HaRishon. And there in Paragimel, Sefer Bereishis, the Torah says, Bezeas HaPecha Toch HaLechem. After Adam and Chava make the terrible mistake of eating from the Eitz Hadas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them a curse. And he says that from here on in, life will be very difficult. Ad shuvcha el ha'adama. You're going to have to work hard. Life is going to be difficult until the moment when you go back into the ground. What does it mean when you go back into the ground? Ki mimenu lakachta, because that's where you came from. Ki afar ata ve'el afar tashuv. Let's not forget, Adam HaRishon was created from the afar. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if that's where you were created from, then at the end of life, that's where a human being is supposed to be as well. So that's really where the whole concept comes from, where the whole idea originates from. And the truth is, in Pirkei de Rabbi Lezer, they tell a very fascinating story about when Hevel was killed by his brother Cain. So Adam and Chava were overwhelmed by the terrible loss of one of their children, and they didn't really know what to do. This is the first time anybody ever died, so they weren't sure how to respond. So Pirkei de Rabbi Lezer tells the following story. Adam v'chava yoshvim u'bochim u'misablim alav. Adam and Chava are crying and they're being noig avelus and they didn't know what to do. They feel a devastating loss that they lost a child. Shalo hayu noagim b'kvura. How would they have known that when somebody passes away, they're supposed to be buried in the ground? Maybe our job is to sit here over the body and cry for the rest of our lives, and this is what should be done. What happened next? Ba orev echad shemes lo chavero. There was a raven who lost one of its fellow friends, who was also a raven, and this raven flies by, lakachoso, the raven goes and takes the dead bird, chafar ba'aretz v'tamnu le'enehem, and he buries his friend, the other raven, in the ground. Adam looks at this and he says, obviously this is a simen min hashamayim, obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to teach me something, and he says, ka'orev ani yoseh, maybe I should be acting the same way that the raven did, V'kavar es Hevel. And it's only then that Adam HaRishon had this idea that it would be appropriate to bury his son Hevel. But until that point, nobody really knew what they were supposed to do. How should they know? HaKadosh Baruch Hu hadn't yet given the Torah. So then later on in history, as we know, the Torah says, Kavar tikburenu bayom hahu. The Torah says we have a mitzvah of kvuras hameis. And not only that, we have an iser to leave a body that is not buried, because it says, lo salin nivlaso al ha'etz. You have a mitzvah to bury, and you have an iser if you do not bury. And the Gemara Masechah Sanhedrin Daf Mem Vav has a very fascinating shaila. And the reason why I discuss this is because, unfortunately, every so often we get a question about a family member who has leftover instructions that they want to be cremated. And that is a very painful reality. Sometimes it's from families of Bali Tshuva, and sometimes, unfortunately, it's from people who are just not interested in paying so much money to be buried. It seems to be that it's far cheaper to be cremated. And this is something that is a very big question that we need to think about. So the first thing that we need to look at is the Gemara Masechah Sanhedrin Daf Mem Vav, where the Gemara there asks, what if somebody leaves over instructions for their closest of relatives that they do not want to be buried? Are we supposed to listen to those instructions or not? After all, human beings have a right to leave over all kinds of instructions. And if I say that after I die, I want my property to go to this person, or I want my money to go to that person, or this family member should not get, and that family member should get more, I have every right to make whatever provision I want. But how far does that go? Says the Gemara, if I leave over instructions that I don't want to be buried, do I have a right to impose that on my family or not? And the Gemara says the bottom line of that question is, what is the reason for the kvura? Is the reason for kvura because we don't want there to be a bizayon? It's a disgrace to have a body around without being buried. It shows nobody cares. And that's a bizayon to the whole family, not just to the nifter, him or herself. Is that the reason why we require a kvura? Or do we say that a kvura is necessary because we want to give everyone an opportunity to gain a kapara? And the way to gain a kapara, the assumption is by being buried in the ground. And the Gemara has the suffix. The Gemara there does not come to a conclusion. The Gemara is not sure. Why is it that the Torah mandates a kvura when somebody dies? Why don't we just allow them to make their own decision whether or not they'd like to be buried? Maybe I don't want to spend all that money. Maybe I don't want the family to have to deal with it. And just leave me alone. So the Gemara does not come to a final conclusion. And the Rambam, obviously, paskins lahalacha in one direction. The Rambam in Hilchos Avel, Perek Yud Beis Halacha Aleph, writes, Hespid, when we talk about the fact that you're supposed to give a eulogy for somebody who dies, that is also a shaila. Is that because of Kavod Hameis, because we want to extol the virtues of this person who just passed away, because we want to give them honor? Or is it because of Kavod Achai? Is it because we want to give some kind of nechama to the family members that are still alive? And the way to do that is by talking about stories that remind us of this great person. So the Rambam says, when it comes to a hesped, that is clearly kavod hames. We give hespedim because we want to show honor to the mace, him or herself. And therefore, he says, lefikach kofen as hayarshim litein schar hamekoninim hamekoninos. Let's say the yarshim say, we don't want to spend the money to... They used to have professional maspidim, not like today where family members get up. They used to pay professionals to speak at a levaya. So back then, if somebody said, I don't want to pay all this money to have a maspid because we don't have so much money, do you have a right to withhold that schus from the mace? The answer, says the Rambam, is no. Why? Because a hespid is a kavod hames. And it's not up to the family members to decide whether or not their relative who passed away is deserving of honor. So therefore, that's the halacha. However, says the Rambam, Mimtziva al tasbidu, ein softimoso. If he says, I don't want to have a hesped said for me, we have to honor that request. Why? Because the whole objective of the hesped is just to give kavod to the mace. Aval, says the Rambam, Mimtziva shelo yikaver. What if he leaves over instructions? Very clear instructions saying, I don't want to be buried. I don't want the family to pay all that money to bury me. Just leave me alone. There he says, Ein Shomelo, writes the Rambam, we would not listen to such a person. Why? Because the Torah says, Kavur Tikbarenu. It's not up to you to decide. This is a mitzvah. On top of that, there is also an Isser if you do not bury, as we said, Lo Sela Nivlaso Ala Eitz. And therefore he writes that we would assume that somebody does not have a right to make such a decision for themselves with regard to the burial. In fact, the Acharonim quote a passage from the Talmud Yerushalmi, where the Yerushalmi writes, you have somebody who's on his deathbed and he's leaving all kinds of instructions over for the family. And he says, I have all kinds of businesses, I'm not going to be able to take care of them because I feel I'm at the end, so make sure that this business goes to this child and that business goes to the other, and also make sure that I'm not buried. So the Yerushalmi wants to know, do we assume that because the second part of his statement is invalidated, because he didn't have a right to say I shouldn't be buried, so too the other part of his statement is invalidated also? Should we assume that everything he said on that occasion is invalid and we ignore it? But the assumption of the Yerushalmi is that if somebody gets up and says, I do not want to be buried, I want to be cremated, we would not listen to them. In fact, the Navi says, when he talks about one of the terrible averis, he says, Ashlosha Pishe Moav, Al Sarfu Atzmos Melech Adom. One of the terrible averis that he highlights is the fact that they burned the body of Melech Edom, and that was considered to be a terrible travesty. That is something that was totally unacceptable. So the Achronim talk in great length about why it is that we are opposed to cremation. Reason number one that many Achronim say is because Ein Lecha Nivel Hameis Gadol Mizeh. We know you're not allowed to do anything that is disrespectful to the body. And the Achronim say, how can you have a greater disrespect than this? You're going to take the body and burn it into ashes? That is the greatest nivel hames that one could ever imagine. And therefore the Achronim say that's reason number one. Reason number two, they say, is most obviously because the Torah says, Kavur Tikbarenu. You're being mevatel, biadayim. You're being mevatel the opportunity to do the mitzvah of kvura. And therefore we have to make sure not to overlook that either. And Reb Chaim Moser adds on to that as well. In the Tshuva Zachiezer, he says, forgetting about all of those very obvious reasons, but he says there's an additional reason that sometimes we may not think about. And he says, Al Dvar She'elaso, Imutr Lisrof Mesim. Says Reb Chaim Ozer, is one allowed to go ahead with a cremation? Are we allowed to do so? So Reb Chaim Ozer writes there that no, it is obviously not permissible. He quotes the argument that some Acharonim say from Maseches Temura, that if something's supposed to be buried, it's not allowed to be burnt. It's really not relevant to the discussion now. However, then he says, V'ha Iker. Reb Chaim Ozer writes, you want to know the bottom line why I think this is a problem to go ahead with a cremation? It is because Shemitzvas HaKura Sheis Asku Bazeh Avos HaOlam U'mishakover Es Meso Mamin B'tchias HaMesim. If somebody goes ahead and does the mitzvah of Kvuras HaMes the way we're supposed to, it means you believe that there's going to be a Tchias HaMesim and that the body is going to be resurrected someday. If you burn the body, says Reb Chaim Ozer, Harehu Kekofer B'tchias HaMesim. And says Reb Chaim Ozer, in my opinion, that is more critical than any other factor that you're going to present on this question. Reb Chaim Ozer there says that we have to be very, very careful and do whatever we can to make sure that this is not done because we all collectively believe in Tchias HaMesim. On top of the mitzvah of Kvura and everything else that we mention, this, says Reb Chaim Ozer, is something that is very important. Something that is important to consider in this discussion as well is some wanted to argue that maybe you should say you shouldn't allow it because it's causing tsar to the person who has passed away. And the Radvaz, one of the Gedolei HaRishonim, had a tshuva where he discussed something similar, and he thinks that that is not an argument. The Radvaz has a very interesting shaila that really he quotes from the tshuvas HaRashba, which was way before him. So the Radvaz quotes that the Rashba had a suffik, and the Ramah talks about this in Yoredeya. Let's say somebody leaves over instructions that they want when they are buried that they should line the grave with some kind of acid that will disintegrate the body quicker than otherwise it will naturally disintegrate. Why does he want that? He wants it because, after all, Chazal say that a person will not be able to gain a full kapara and entry into Yeshiva Shalmailo or wherever a person goes. That's not going to happen until the body is completely decomposed. So he says, why should I wait? Once the person passes away, he says, I want that there should be a clear instruction that immediately my body should be doused with acid, and this way I will have an opportunity to be in the Olam HaEmes sooner than I otherwise would. So this is a shayla that was discussed by the Rashba. It's a shayla that is later discussed by the Radvaz. And then it is quoted the halacha in the Ramah as well. So the Radvaz goes into the issue here. And one of the things that he mentions is, do we have to be concerned that you're causing tsar to the person after they pass away? So he says that is really not a argument that we have to contend with, because once the person passes away, they're not really in pain anymore. So the Radvaz says that's not something to think about. However, something that he says here I found to be so profound. The Radvaz at the end of the tshuva writes, Mikol makom, hu hischakmus amasha sidir HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tivo shel olam. Says the Radvaz, there's a natural course of events in which the way the world runs. And therefore he says, naturally the way it works is, somebody passes away, they're buried, there's a certain period of time that they're supposed to be in the kever, and then there's a certain time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, now I allow you entry into the Olam HaEmes, for whatever reason. And says the Radvaz, Kivan Shahadavar al Tsad Ha'onesh Mahoil. He says the reason why a body needs to take time to decompose is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to give the person a time to suffer the onesh for all the mistakes they've made in their life. After they've been purified, after they've been cleansed and purged from all those terrible things, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets them up to Yeshiva Shamayla. Says the Radvaz, Haktsar Ktsara Yado Yizbarach Lehisparo Mimenu Ba'oneshu Kasha Umar Mizet. Do you think you're going to outsmart the system? You think if you instruct them to put acid on the body, and now you're going to buck the system by getting into Yeshiva Shamayla sooner, don't you understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have to double down on the Onesh? Don't you understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have to do something, because there is a very careful calculation to everything that goes on in the world? And therefore he says, in my opinion, writes the Radvaz, Im tzadiku halo yitzaves hateva lahashiv kol yisod liyudo bezulas hazman. If the person is a righteous man or woman, then they'll have their due time. In due process, they'll have an opportunity to go where they're supposed to be. And he says, if not, then you don't want to suffer doubly as much than you otherwise would have in a shorter period of time. And therefore, says the Radvaz, let life take its course. Let things go the way they're naturally supposed to go. And he assumes that it would not be a good idea. But B'toch HaDvarim, he writes that if you're concerned about the tsar that it's going to cause a body after the body is already no longer alive, that is not something that we really need to worry about. The problem here is that although we take cremation to be considered a very serious issue on many levels, on a hashkafic level and on a halachic level, as we mentioned, there is a major problem, because for those who study Navi, you will be aware that in Shmuel Aleph, the Navi tells us that after Shaul passed away, it seems that they took his body. It says they took as Gevias Shaul, which means the body of Shaul, Vez Gevias Banav, they took the bodies of his children, Vayavo, and then they all came, Vayisrifu Osam, and everybody collectively burned the body of Shaul and all of his children. So how do you explain that? And the Radak and many other Mefarshim try to deal with that issue. Obviously, cremation is not the way to go, but how do you then explain why the Jewish people at the time burned the body of Shaul HaMelech? So some Mefarshim say, no, when the Torah says, when the Navi says there that they were burning the body of Shaul HaMelech, it doesn't mean the actual body. Of course they buried Shaul HaMelech. It means they took all the property of Shaul HaMelech and they burnt it. Because after all, the Rambam writes, quoting the Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin, that when you have a Melech who's no longer functioning, you have to take all of his different items that he used to use and you have to burn it. Why? Because it's a bizayon to him that anybody else should use it after him. So they take the Pasuk totally out of context and they say the Pasuk means something totally different than what we all read. And the Radak says, no, that's not what it means. The Radak says, the objective always needs to be Kavod HaMeis. And here says the Radak, Shaul HaMelech's body was already masriach, it was already rotting away, and it smelled. So he said, the greatest Kavod HaMeis that they were able to do was to burn the flesh, this way it wouldn't rot anymore. And then, obviously, they buried the bones of Shaul HaMelech. They didn't burn him until he was ashes, they didn't cremate him. Again, the Radak here also feels the need to reinterpret the Pasuk, because how can you read this literally? How can it be that Klal Yisrael at the time when Shaul HaMelech died violated the mitzvah of Kavod Tikberenu, violated the Isra of Lo Sala Nivlaso? That doesn't seem to make any sense. How would you be allowed to do that if it's clear that this is something that is so antithetical to the way that a mace is supposed to be treated at the very end of life? Reb Hanani ben Akash